Hello and welcome to Ox Talk on Tuesday the 23rd of April 2024. My name's Simon and I'll be compiling this week's edition, in which you will hear a selection of news items from the local Oxford papers, chosen and read by Ali Proven and Christine Churchill. Copying and distribution of the USBs is by Michelle Lawful. Before we start, here is some information on how to listen to Ox Talk on your Alexa device. At the end of the news, you can hear information on how to access Ox Talk online.
Notice to listeners of Ox Talk who use a smart speaker to access our service. There are new instructions for anyone who listens to Ox Talk using Alexa. To listen to Ox Talk in this way, you now have to use the Talking Newspaper skill. First, you need to enable it. Simply say, Alexa, enable talking newspaper. Then, to listen to Ox Talk, please follow this procedure.
Alexa, open talking newspaper.
Welcome to your talking newspaper skill. Please say the name of a newspaper or a town or city you would like to hear from.
Oxford.
Here are the following newspapers nearest to Oxford. Please pick a newspaper name. Oxford and District Talking News, Whitney Talking News Latest Edition, Whitney Talking News Previous Edition, Whitney Talking Magazine, Wallingford, and District Talking Newspaper. Or do you want to hear more?
Oxford and District Talking News.
Do you want to listen to Oxford and District Talking News?
Yes.
This is Oxford and District Talking News.
If you have problems listening to Ox Talk in this way, it could be due to the way that your Alexa device is set up. Please check the settings with whoever set up your device in the first place. If you still have problems, please contact Ox Talk and we will try to help.
A cat cafe, which opened in Oxford city centre earlier this year, has now welcomed its first feline friend for customers to mingle with. Mac Kitten Coffee Shop in Cowley Road near the Plain roundabout opened on February the 9th, but customers have had to wait 2 months before its first kitten arrived. The cafe revealed that Cookie, a black kitten from Swindon, was welcomed on site on Thursday to the delight of its customers and owners. Customers are able to sit down for a coffee or refreshments and interact with the kitten housed on site. A spokesperson for the cafe said, "He was a bit scared at first, but when the children came, he relaxed. He loves attention and loves the place. He has adapted very fast. Everybody can see the cat, and for now, we don't need reservations. We have takeaway coffee and cakes and some savouries for walk-in." The cafe hopes to have 3 more cats that will come from Turkey by the end of May. The delays in bringing cats to the cafe came after a wait on the correct permits. The cafe replaces Boss Chic Hairdressers, which is next door to the Korean food store Seoul Plaza. Cat cafes have gained in popularity in the UK and across the globe following a craze which began in Taiwan.
A survey launched by British naturalist Steve Baxall has found the River Thames to be the bacterial equivalent of untreated wastewater, causing concern among open water swimmers in Oxford. The TV presenter, who is the president of the Barks, Bucks and Oxen Wildlife Trust, collected water samples from a Thames water sewage treatment facility across the border in Buckinghamshire following a sewage discharge of around 12 hours into the waterway on March the 13th and 14th. He sent the samples to the Wastewater Research Centre at Bangor University, where he is a senior honorary lecturer, and received the horrifying results of specialist lab tests this week. The findings show bacterial levels that are tens of thousands of times higher than acceptable concentrations and demonstrate a considerable risk of both people and wildlife contracting norovirus, enterovirus and E. coli. This has caused unease for members of an Oxford open water swimming group, including Kit Yates, an author based in Oxford, who regularly swims in the Thames from King's Lock to the bottom of Port Meadow. He said, certainly knowing there is likely to be sewage in the water makes swimming in the river less attractive. Certain members of our group won't go near the water anymore, either due to stories in the media highlighting the issue, hearing the experience of friends, or from having a bad experience personally. I try to take more precautions when I swim. For example, I don't put my head under the water if we swim in the winter. It's obviously not going to be beneficial for humans to ingest untreated sewage, so you can't help but be concerned for your own health. More widely, though, I'm concerned about the impacts of the pollution on our waterways, on our plants and animals. Mr. Yates believes water companies need to invest more in sewage treatment facilities and other infrastructure to alleviate the problem. He continued, "Currently there seems to be little incentive for them to do so. It feels like the whole system is broken and needs a revamp. Otherwise, there is little to no hope of meaningful change." Last month, the University of Oxford rower told the BBC his boat race crew had suffered an E. coli outbreak because of the high levels of the bacteria in the water. Thames Water uses storm overflows to discharge excess waste and rainwater from its combined sewer system to nearby rivers and seas during periods of heavy rainfall. The overflow helps to stop rainwater and sewage from overwhelming the pipe network and backing up into people's homes and streets. However, it has come under fire following an increase in the use of storm overflows over recent months, sometimes even during dry weather. Data from the Environment Agency, EA, shows a 54% rise in spills from 2022 to 2023, something the organisation said was partly due to England experiencing its sixth wettest year on record. Helen Wakeham, Director of Water at the EA, described the findings as disappointing but sadly not surprising. Recent government action on the issue includes a consultation to ban water bosses' bonuses when criminal breaches have occurred, quadrupled company inspections, a fast-tracked £18 million investment to cut spills, and a whistleblowing portal encouraging workers to report breaches. A spokeswoman for Thames Water said the company planned to host Mr. Baxall alongside the River Action Group on a visit to the Little Marlow Sewage Treatment Works in Buckinghamshire. She added, "Little Marlow Sewage Treatment Works is fully compliant with its effluent quality consent and its storm discharge permit, as set by the Environment Agency, to protect river water quality and the associated ecosystem. There are clear guidelines on how samples should be taken in order to give an accurate picture of the quality of the water, and we would be keen to understand more about the approach taken in this instance."
Des Buckingham and three of the Oxford United side, which battered Peterborough United 5-0, have been included in the Sky Bet League One Team of the Week. Buckingham was named Manager of the Week, while Finn Stevens, Ruben Rodriguez and Josh Murphy are in the team. Rodriguez netted a brace against the Posh, while Murphy scored and then assisted Rodriguez's first goal of the afternoon. Right back, Stevens claimed an assist for Rodriguez's second goal. The team of the week is created using ratings provided by Who Scored, a website which offers detailed football statistics via data provided by Opta. Murphy and Rodriguez both scored a rating of 8.7, while Stevens scored 8.3. Greg Lee, 8.1, and Mark Harris, 8 were United's next best rated players at the weekend. The rest of the team's defence consisted of Cambridge United goalkeeper Will Mannion, Bristol Rovers defensive duo Harvey Vale and Alcombe Baggott, and Derby County centre-half Sonny Bradley. Fleetwood Town's Boson Lawal and Reading's Lewis Wing join Rodriguez in midfield, while Pirates wide man Luke Thomas and Exeter City striker Milenic Ali line up in attack with Murphy.
Protesters formed a human chain around the site of threatened woodland at a city nature park. A group of about 40 people gathered at the Grand Pont Nature Park in Oxford, where the City Council has approved plans for a new Oxpens River Bridge. Councillors at a planning meeting in March gave the green light to a route that will link Oseney Mead to Oxpens, the site of a new Oxford Quarter. But a planning review committee will meet again at County Hall after 16 councillors called for the approval to be reconsidered. Objectors question the need for an additional bridge at the nature reserve when there was already one 2 minutes away, and suggested it would trash the local habitat. A spokesman for the Save Grand Pont Nature Park group said, if granted planning permission, this bridge is all set to be a hugely expensive and destructive white elephant. £10 million of public money from a fund which is supposed to facilitate affordable housing has been set aside to subsidise what is essentially a private commercial development of Oxford University being built on our public green spaces. Cabinet Member for Climate Justice and Zero Carbon Oxford, Anna Railton, said at the previous meeting, there are things that are not ideal, such as the width of the bridge, and the tree removal is not perfect, but there are things to be said in its favour. It has been well designed and it does unlock housing on Oseney Mead and gives those residents active travel choices into town. The housing referred to is graduate, postdoc and staff facilities, which would be located at the linking Oxpens site. Protesters are set to show their opposition to the development outside County Hall before the start of the meeting. The objecting Save Grand Pont Nature Park spokesman concluded, most of the main wooded copse in the park will be destroyed to make way for the Oxpens River Bridge and its 3.5 metre concrete feeder paths if the bridge goes ahead. The application had been passed in March, with 5 councillors approving, 2 refusing and 1 abstaining.
A free Special Educational Needs and Disabilities, SEND, fair is set to take place in Didcot. It has been organised by Wantage MP David Johnston and will feature Clear Sky Children's Charity, Carers Oxfordshire, Family Action, My Vision Oxfordshire and FlexiCare. The event will provide a platform for families who care for those with special educational needs to gather information about these organisations' work and the support they offer. Mr Johnston said, helping local parents access the support they need for children and young people with special educational needs has consistently been one of the top issues that I have written about. I always try and resolve any issues that are raised with me, and I am now holding my SEND fair to bring together all the local and national organisations that provide support to SEND children and young people and their parents and carers. The fair is scheduled to take place on May the 28th at Didcot Civic Hall from 12:30 p.m. to 4:30 p.m. Mr Johnston chose Didcot for the fair as it is the region where he receives the most SEND cases. However, residents from across the constituency are welcome to attend. Pre-registration is encouraged and can be done via Mr. Johnston's website.
A topping out ceremony is set to mark the completion of a new building at the University of Oxford. The event on May the 3rd will be for the Schwarzman Humanities Building, which will house a large theatre, concert hall and recording studio. It is part of a wider culture programme which will see it host a number of international artists. The aim of the site is to create a new source of opportunity in the region and nationally. The event will welcome Gregory Doran, a visiting professor of contemporary theatre, whose students will perform Shakespearean scenes. Attendees can also look forward to a sequence of performances from cabaret artist Meow Meow, actor Rushan Stone, and ground-based circus company We Are Hungry, all the way from Berlin.
A locomotive is set to recreate a train journey made through Oxford 60 years ago to say farewell to steam power. Clun Castle, an 80-ton engine, will haul the Great Western 1Z48 from Birmingham's Snow Hill Station, stopping at Oxford and travelling through to Bristol before concluding in Plymouth. The next day, the journey will continue to London Paddington before a diesel engine takes over for the return to Birmingham. A spokesman for Vintage Trains, who are organising the journey for May the 10th and 11th, said, "We will be travelling back in time to recreate... one of the final steam journeys during the days of British Rail. Clun Castle, one of the Western region's crack express locos, hauled the train on that occasion in May 1964. It reached a top speed of 96 miles per hour, notching up the fastest ever non-stop run between the cities in 2 hours, 13 minutes and 9 seconds. And the driver, Henry Roach, reckoned that if he had been allowed, he could easily have topped 100 mph. The Clun Castle, originally built in 1950, was the last of British Rail's castle-class engines to be withdrawn from service. After pulling the final scheduled steam trains from Birmingham's Snow Hill and Moore Street stations and London Paddington, it was sold for scrap in 1966, but later saved and restored by railway enthusiasts.
Conservative politicians across Oxfordshire have shared their thoughts on Liz Truss, with one saying her new book will make a handy doorstop in Number 10. The comments come after Ms Truss, an Oxford graduate and the shortest-serving Prime Minister in British history, blamed the Bank of England governor for her demise. She has been promoting her new book, which endorses Donald Trump and reflects on her 49 days in Downing Street. Liam Walker, Conservative County Councillor for the Hanborough and Minster Lovell Division, said, "I'm sure her book will make a handy doorstop somewhere inside Number 10. Other councillors in the county also had mostly negative views of the Oxford University alumna. Nick Leverton, Carterton South and West Division County Councillor, said, "I do not value her. I don't send her a Christmas card and she doesn't send me one. I'm just a little old boy that likes to do the right thing for the people in the town. I'm not a mad Conservative that listens to everything that comes out of the central press office." Michael Wayne, Conservative County Councillor for the Bicester Town Division, added, "I wholeheartedly support Rishi Sunak, the Prime Minister, and I always have done. I'm very pleased to say I never have supported Liz Truss.
I feel that what the Prime Minister is proposing and putting into action is far more realistic and honest. Mr. Wayne said he also sat on a different side of the party and that he is very much a One Nation Conservative. Ms. Truss received criticism during and after her tenure as Prime Minister in 2022 when she stepped down amid a government crisis after her mini-budget appeared to crash the economy. The Oxford-born PPE graduate, who was once a Liberal Democrat, released her new book, 10 Years to Save the West, this week. She has been MP for South West Norfolk since 2010 and previously held various cabinet positions under three prime ministers, David Cameron, Theresa May and Boris Johnson. Felix Bloomfield, chairman of Oxfordshire County Council, had a more sympathetic view towards the politician who was infamously outlasted by a lettuce in her prime ministerial term as part of a stunt by the Daily Star. Mr. Bloomfield said, "I think Liz has good traditional conservative values and it was very unfortunate that her premiership was so short. The advice she was given from civil servants was poor. She was poorly advised and tried to rush things through, and that was the problem. I think she had good intentions, but the support wasn't there." While at Oxford, Ms. Truss was president of the Oxford Liberal Democrat Society. She started her PPE undergraduate degree in 1993. Ms. Truss has called for fundamental reforms to the UK's economic architecture, scrapping the Office for Budget Responsibility and replacing the Bank of England's Governor, Andrew Bailey. On ITV's Peston, Ms. Truss said she was blindsided by the vulnerabilities in the pension system that were exposed as the market got spooked by her Chancellor Kwasi Kwarteng's mini-budget.
An Oxford Brookes University student has won a National Research Award after working on a clinical trial in Oxfordshire. Cynthia Akol moved to the UK from Nigeria to study business administration, but switched to an MSc in mental health nursing after working as a part-time support worker on mental health wards. She said, "I arrived in the United Kingdom in 2019 as an international student and pursued an MBA programme at the University of South Wales. She spent 18 months completing the programme, during which time she met a group of nurses who influenced her career choice. Ms. Coley said, "In Nigeria, there is little provision for mental health and still a stigma around it. Working closely with patients while part-time on mental health wards swayed her towards nursing. She undertook a mental health student hybrid MESH placement at Oxford's Warnford Hospital. MESH offers nursing students research experience alongside their clinical placements. Her research focused on using ketamine as a treatment for severe depression. Ms. O'Coley won the Most Engaged MESH Student National Award for her clinical trial work.
Famous atheist Richard Dawkins will share his thoughts to a hometown audience with an evening talk in Oxford. The evolutionary biologist and emeritus fellow of New College will be at New Theatre on October the 21st for an evening with Richard Dawkins and friends. It will explore topics from science to religion, life on Earth and beyond. Professor Dawkins is celebrated for his advocacy of scientific inquiry, with best-selling books such as The Selfish Gene, The God Delusion and Unweaving the Rainbow. The tour will offer audiences an insight into Mr. Dawkins' forthcoming book, The Genetic Book of the Dead, which analyses the role of DNA in our comprehension of evolution. The Oxford Show is one of six UK appearances organised by Live Nation's Cuff and Taylor. Ben Hatton, the director of theatre touring at Cuff and Taylor, said, "Richard Dawkins is revered and respected as one of the world's foremost scientists and thinkers, and we are honoured to be bringing his tour here with six unmissable shows. His live shows are always thought-provoking and insightful, and we expect this new tour to be incredibly popular, so we would advise booking early to avoid disappointment. Tickets for the event are available via the Ticketmaster and ATG Tickets websites."
A pub wants to increase its outdoor space to stop overcrowding inside the venue. The Black Horse, off Banbury Road in Kidlington, has applied to put a pergola in its beer garden in an effort to ensure the indoor areas of the pub are less prone to overfilling. The pergola would be made out of wood and covered with transparent sheeting. Plans also include building a new entrance area to the Green King pub. A planning statement reads, "The planned works will increase the customer appeal of the pub by providing a clear entrance area to the main building and providing additional outdoor space, which is sheltered from inclement weather."
Queues were expected outside shops across the county on Saturday the 20th of April, when vinyl fans marked record store day. Staff at Truck Store in Oxford's Cowley Road and its sister store in Whitney, formerly Rapture, expected long queues before they opened, as music fans turned out in the hope of snapping up limited edition releases. Record Store Day, RSD, launched in the UK in 2008, and this year had more than 270 independent record shops celebrating their culture by selling special vinyl releases and hosting artist performances. There were no reservations on RSD product at all. Everything was sold on a first-come, first-served basis and was limited to one copy per customer. No buying extra copies for mates. Truck in Cowley Road also hosted an in-store performance from singer Lucy Rose at 4 p.m. on the Sunday. This year's record store ambassador is Kate Bush, who is thought to live in South Oxfordshire. The singer, who topped the charts aged 19 in 1978 with Wuthering Heights, is releasing a special edition of Eat the Music. The song was scheduled for release from the 1993 Red Shoes album, but Rubber Band Girl was released as a single in its place. Kate Bush described it as a huge honour and a great privilege to join the illustrious list of previous Record Store Day ambassadors, including Taylor Swift, Sir Elton John, Noel Gallagher and the 1975. She added, "Isn't it great to see how the resurgence in vinyl has taken the music industry by complete surprise? It had decided to leave vinyl far behind, but it would seem that not everyone agrees. I love that. I know there are many, many artists who are just as excited to see the audience turning the tide. In the same way that some people like to read a book on Kindle, but also want to have a book as a physical object, a lot of people like vinyl and streaming. Both have different appeals." Releases highlighted by Truck Store in Oxford included David Bowie's Waiting in the Sky at £29.99 and a picture disc of Blur's Park Life, also £29.99.
A new exhibition is celebrating the centenary of the MG sports car. Staff at Abingdon County Hall Museum have created new displays to celebrate the birth of the MG mark in an exhibition entitled MG 100, Evolution of an Icon. It recalls how, in 1914, William Morris switched his business from assembling bicycles to manufacturing cars. Combining his business sense and drive with the influence of an ambitious young sales manager, Cecil Kimber, the MG Sports brand was born. By 1930, the Abingdon factory was delivering MGs from its production line and was to become an inextricable part of the identity of the town for decades to come, until the MG factory closed in 1980. Museum manager Dan Sancisi said, "This exhibition looks at the development of MG cars through time and tracks some landmark moments in its history, from triumphs at Le Mans to record breakers in the salt flats of Utah."
Des Buckingham rued the penalty decision that went against his side as Oxford United slipped to defeat at home against Lincoln City. Awarded within the first 60 seconds of the second half, referee Lee Swaby deemed that Ruben Rodriguez fouled Ben House in the midst of a goalmouth scramble. The call proved costly as Danny Mandrieu fired home from the penalty spot, allowing the Imps to hold on to what they had for the entirety of the second period. Youth coach Buckingham was less than impressed with the awarding of the spot kick, having watched the incident back prior to his post-match interview. He said, "I've got complaints about the penalty. I've just watched it back and it wasn't a penalty. He wins the ball, so that's frustrating, as it's ended up deciding the outcome of the game. We've created a couple of big opportunities and didn't take them, and of course when a decision goes against you, it gives them something to hold on to. We set up pretty well to deal with what their threats were, but it's a key moment in the game which has given the result it has. We've got two big games coming up and we're in a really strong position. We're 2 points clear with two games to go and it's in our hands. If we can put a performance on Friday night in front of our own fans in the final game of the regular season here, then we'll do as much as we can to make sure we leave here with the result that we all want." Buckingham reserved praise for the home support, with the noise and backing increasing after the Imps had Dylan Duffy sent off in the closing stages. "The fans have been great here the last two games, and I wouldn't say that if I didn't feel it or mean it," said Buckingham. "I'm not sure what has changed, but there's certainly been a massive swing in terms of the atmosphere here, and that spills onto the pitch."
A TV antiques expert came to Oxfordshire on the hunt for unusual and interesting items. Simon Schneider, known for his appearances on ITV's Dickinson's Real Deal, returned to Oxfordshire this month. The visit gave residents the chance to sell their unwanted items, with Mr. Schneider particularly interested in gold, silver and quality antiques. He said, "I have been touring the country in response to the demand I receive from the public wishing to sell their valuables." He was at the Leonardo Royal Hotel at Wolvercote, Oxford, on April the 17th, and at the Blue Boar Whitney a day later. He said, "I love those occasions when I see the surprise on someone's face when I tell them their broken jewellery or grandmother's old vase is worth a lot more than they ever imagined." He added that there is a strong market for Chinese ceramics, so now is an opportune time to take advantage of the high prices fetched by such items.
Blenheim Palace is to hold its annual jousting tournament this spring, alongside a number of traditional activities. From May the 4th to 6th, visitors to the Grade 1 listed building in Woodstock will be transported back to medieval times for a weekend of traditional English activities. Events will include archery and living history performances taking place all day, whilst jester workshops and shows are scheduled for 11 a.m. and 2 p.m., and 11:30 a.m. and 2:30 p.m. on the South Lawn. A living history medieval camp will set up in the walled garden. Jousting, the main event of the festival, can be seen at noon and 3:30 p.m. in the main area, with a Birds of Prey show scheduled for 1 p.m. and 3 p.m. The palace has incorporated a British Sign Language session during the 3:30 p.m. joust on Sunday, with people invited to attend without booking. The cost of the ticket for the tournament is included with the Blenheim Annual or Privilege Pass, or in the Park and Gardens or Palace Park and Gardens Day Ticket. For more information about the event, visit the Blenheim Palace website. Blenheim Palace was designated a UNESCO World Heritage Site in 1987 and has been home to the Dukes of Marlborough since 1705. The palace is set in more than 2,000 acres of landscaped parkland.
Muslims at a mosque in Oxford have joined thousands of others around the UK in celebrating Eid. Eid al-Fitr, which means the Festival of Sweets, marks the end of Ramadan, a month-long period of fasting and prayer for Muslims, and was celebrated at Central Oxford Mosque. Those celebrating the festival follow the example set by Prophet Muhammad thousands of years ago. Those in attendance washed, wore new clothes, recited prayers on their way to the mosque, and ate dates. Attendees travelled to the mosque in one direction and left via another. Those who could afford to paid fitrana before Eid prayers, ensuring those less fortunate could also take part in the celebrations. People at Central Oxford Mosque joined thousands of others across the country in celebrating the festival.
Two bus drivers are lacing up their trainers as they each prepare to take on a charity challenge. Arif Khan is preparing for his second London Marathon, while his Oxford Bus Company colleague Mark Temple is readying himself for the Half Ironman contest in Somerset. Mr. Khan is raising funds for Cancer Research UK, while Mr. Temple is running in support of Sobel House. Mr. Khan said, "It's a wonderful charity that helps make a difference, and I'm happy to help again. Training is going well, and I'm focused on beating my time from last year. I'm so grateful to Oxford Bus Company for supporting me and Cancer Research UK." Mr. Temple is raising funds for the hospice that provided care for his father and his wife's grandmother. He said Sobel House showed so much compassion and respect, so I always run in support of the hospice. To donate to Mr. Khan, visit GoFundMe, and to donate to Mr. Temple, visit JustGiving.
Loud explosions were heard as a lorry caught fire late at night on the A34 in Oxford. Fire crews battled the blaze for a number of hours, and a section of the dual carriageway was closed throughout Saturday as a major clean-up operation took place, causing disruption for motorists. The driver escaped with minor injuries after their vehicle burst into flames at around 1:30 a.m. on Saturday morning between the A423 at Hinksey Hill and A420 Botley interchanges. Nobody else was hurt, Thames Valley Police said. Resident Elizabeth Scott shared dramatic pictures taken from West Oxford. She said a series of loud explosions were heard roughly in the Botley and Westminster Way area at 1:30 a.m. This was followed by scenes of flames and smoke, with reports from the locals that it was a lorry which had caught fire at the Yarnalls Hill Junction on the A34. Fire and rescue arrived shortly after 1:40 a.m. The fire, which happened on the southbound carriageway, caused severe damage to the road surface, central reservation barrier and near side barrier, and damaged both sides of the A34. Both carriageways closed overnight from Saturday into Sunday for resurfacing and recovery of the lorry. Images from the scene showed huge flames coming from the HGV and thick black smoke billowing. Another image shared by National Highways showed the shell of a lorry on the tarmac, which was damaged. 5 fire engines from Rewley Road, Slade, Abingdon and Kidlington fire stations, as well as a water carrier from Wheatley, were called to the A34 in Oxford at 1:30 a.m. on Saturday morning. They discovered a large, well-developed HGV fire. Firefighters battled the flames for a number of hours in extremely arduous conditions to get the fire under control. Oxfordshire Fire and Rescue Service said, "This was a challenging incident which required a great deal of work from firefighters as well as our colleagues from Thames Valley Police, South Central Ambulance Service, National Highways and Oxfordshire County Council's emergency planning team." The fire service added, "Thank you to the local community for their support and understanding during this incident."
A city politician has said people often pitch tents on green spaces after a couple with an aggressive dog set up camp and needed to be persuaded to leave Oxford. Susanna Pressell, Labour councillor for the Osney and St Thomas ward, explained there had been 2 rough sleepers camps in the area in recent weeks, but suggested this was common practice. One camp was spotted by a resident in the area, Simon Collings, near the Bullstake stream in Osney, while the other, which has now been cleared, was at the Osney Cemetery in Mill Street. The Bullstake stream camp is private land, while Osney Cemetery is land owned by the council. Ms Pressell said, "We quite often get people pitching tents in some of our green spaces. They do this for a variety of reasons. It is not usually because they have nowhere else to go, since the city council will provide a bed for almost everyone who is actually homeless, or help them go back to wherever they have come from. If you see any tents in your neighbourhood, please tell your local councillors." Ms Pressell added that Osney Cemetery was looking beautiful after it had been cleared up. She said, "I have been running a project with a few residents to tidy it up."
A software company based in Tame has welcomed 10 new members to its team. The new appointments at Three Rocks brings the number of staff to 38, following the enlistment of 2 board executives, Chief Technology Officer Matthew Rawlins and Chief Data Officer Andrew Kaplan. Mr. Rawlins said, "It is an honour to be part of the Three Rocks team. It's great to see us achieving such rapid growth and a pleasure to welcome so many talented new people into the business to help drive it forward." Andrew Kaplan added, "Here at Three Rocks, we're focused on delivering some of the most cutting-edge end-to-end experience enhancement software and data-led solutions. All of these new hires have a key role to play in this over the coming months. These recruitments come after an upswing in the firm's turnover and client roster in the past 6 months. This was partly due to the unveiling of the firm's experience management solution known as Three Rocks XMS. The newly integrated roles include data team lead, entry-level data engineer, project manager, software developers and QA tester. Managing Director Scott Muncaster said, "We have been fortunate to see continued growth."
A bakery on the edge of Oxford has been named one of the best in Britain. Proof Social Bakehouse, an open-plan cafe on the Sandford Lane industrial estate in Kennington, has made the Telegraph's list of bakeries worth queuing up for. The cafe is in full view of the working bakehouse, run by head baker Paul Dickinson. The bakery was opened in 2022 by Tap Social Movement, which runs the Tap Room in Botley and the White House in Abingdon Road, as well as the coffee shop Missing Bean. Tap Social Movement is a social enterprise brewery and hospitality organisation that provides paid training and employment to people who have been in prison. According to its website, the organisation has worked with more than 40 ex-offenders, offering at least 60,000 hours of paid employment. A statement said, "Proof Social Bakehouse is an artisan wholesale bakery and cafe in Oxford that creates a range of sourdough breads, pastries and more." Millie Kenny Ryder, writing for The Telegraph, said, "The fruit danishes are bestsellers, but Proof also caters generously for vegans, with an impressive spread of dairy-free options. The baristas pour a great flat white with Oxford's best-loved Missing Bean coffee."
The investment of £10 million on a new bridge in Oxford is not a good use of public funds, according to a city councillor. Last month, the city council approved plans for the Oxpens River Bridge, which will link Grand Pont Nature Park to Oxpens Meadow. But the decision was called in by at least 12 councillors and referred to the council's planning review committee for further consideration. Green City Councillor Lois Muddyman was one of the councillors who called in the decision. In a letter to the Oxford Times, she suggested the investment would not be a good use of public funds. The City Councillor for Oseney and St Thomas Ward wrote, "Oxford City Council's proposed new pedestrian and cycle bridge from Grand Pont Nature Park to Oxpens Meadow over the River Thames is not a good use of over £10 million of public money for many reasons. Firstly, there are two other pedestrian and cycle bridges very nearby. Having three pedestrian and cycle bridges so close together is not a good use of our limited resources. Secondly, the proposed bridge is intended to support Oxford University's future plans for the development of Oseney Mead. These plans are dominated by employment or education space with limited student or staff accommodation. If the university wants a third pedestrian and cycle bridge in this location, they should pay for it, not the taxpayer." Ms. Muddyman added, "Thirdly, connecting the proposed bridge to the Oseney Mead development in the future would likely involve lowering the footpath under the railway bridge beside the river. This would inevitably lead to more expense for the Environment Agency when the area floods, as it regularly does. £10 million of our money could be much better used to provide new cycle and pedestrian infrastructure elsewhere." In February, protesters gathered at the Nature Reserve assembled to complain about the premature felling of trees to make way for the bridge. The group of residents opposed plans to proceed with construction of the bridge. Campaigner and former councillor Deborah Glass-Woodin complained that some tree felling took place before there was a council vote on the new bridge. Forestry Commission officer said six trees felled had been just about within the legal limit, but planning permission or a licence was required to cut down any further trees. The Planning Review Committee is recommended to approve the application for the new bridge.
A stolen piece of artwork taken from the Christchurch Picture Gallery over 4 years ago has been handed in to police. The 17th century painting A Rocky Coast with Soldiers Studying a Plan was stolen on the 14th of March 2020. It happened at about 11 p.m. when an alleged gang used ladders stolen from the meadows to climb onto the roof of the gallery near the college's Canterbury Gate in Merton Street and smashed their way in through a skylight. They removed three paintings from their frames before returning the way they came. But police have revealed that the Italian Baroque landscape was handed in to authorities in Romania and recovered by officers from Thames Valley Police and Jacqueline Talman, curator of the Christchurch Picture Gallery. However, the force is now releasing a fresh appeal for the other two paintings stolen in the same raid. Sir Anthony van Dyck's A Soldier on Horseback, dating from around 1617, and A Boy Drinking by Annibale Carracci, dating from around 1580, both of which have been on display since 1768 at Christchurch. Romanian police were contacted by a man in possession of the Rosa painting, who had sold on the other two artworks, which are understood to be somewhere in Europe. He chose to return the Rosa painting to the authorities. The man is being treated as a witness by Romanian authorities and has not been arrested. Senior investigating officer, Detective Chief Inspector James Mather, said, "We're pleased to be able to announce this breakthrough and recover this painting by Salvatore Rosa, thanks to the Romanian authorities and their intelligence. Our inquiries are ongoing and we are working with the Romanian judiciary and police, as well as Eurojust and Europol, to gather further intelligence, and it is believed that the other two paintings were sold on in Romania and could be anywhere in Europe. Some of the work includes detailed forensic analysis of the painting, which is ongoing. While this is significant progress, two important works of art remain missing." Ms. Thalman added, "We're grateful to the Romanian authorities and Thames Valley Police for their help in retrieving this priceless work and returning it to our gallery. The missing paintings have been on public view since 1768, so it's vital that we recover them so they can be enjoyed and studied by all once more. Not only do the paintings form a significant part of our collection, but their significance to our British and European culture is inestimable. Anyone with information is urged to contact police, quoting reference number 432-000-87031.
Cut-off residents held a ceremony to celebrate the opening of a path on a new estate 4 years late. Residents moved into properties in Deda Gardens in July 2020, but the developers have never delivered connecting footpaths from the estate to local shops, schools or bus routes. It meant people had to walk over muddy ground on a track that became a quagmire in wet weather, with people even having to lay down wooden boards in winter to make it passable. A couple with disabled children said they were forced to walk their children alongside the busy A4130 because it was the only way to reach amenities on foot. Rachel Jones, who uses a mobility scooter, said there was no accessibility to even bus stops. Chair of the Residents Association, Craig Rouse, described the situation as a nightmare. Since residents moved in, We've only had three small gaps made in closing fencing for us to get through, he said. Deda Gardens was built by developer David Wilson Homes, who advertised the homes as being within close reach of Didcot's shopping centres and schools. It was supposed to be connected to Great Western Park Estate, which had already been constructed by Taylor Wimpey. But Taylor Wimpey said the original planning consent for Great Western Park did not include any footpath connection and it hadn't fulfilled its obligations. Didcot West councillor Ian Snowden said, "This planning permission included a travel plan which said they didn't need to provide a bus route nor a school as these were all accessible nearby with footpaths. There was going to be a footpath to the east of the primary school, a footpath to the south to the shops, and a footpath to the west to connect up to Great Western Park." Mr. Snowden also criticised the lack of enforcement action from South Oxford District Council and said at the full council meeting he had asked the cabinet member for planning, Anne-Marie Simpson, for an apology. The council had said since the two housing developments came at different times, the area in between wasn't included in Taylor Wimpey's plan and was beyond David Wilson Homes' site boundary. But it did concede that Taylor Wimpey's consent required them to provide gravel paths on the western and eastern edge of the development. Residents have decided to name the new footpath after Mr. Snowden for pursuing the campaign. But he said he was cross it had local press coverage to get the developer to finally act. He said, "It's very embarrassing, but the Residents Association had a meeting and decided to name it after me, because 48 hours after the story went live, Taylor Wimpey suddenly delivered the footpath." A spokesperson for Taylor Wimpey said it had listened to the feedback from local residents and was now pleased to be providing better links to facilitate access to the community facilities at the development. Craig Rouse, chair of the Deda Gardens Residents Association, said, "For what was really only a few hours of work, it's been a huge transformation for everybody."
Supermarket giant Aldi has helped Oxfordshire's good causes with more than 8,000 meals throughout the recent Easter school holidays. Paired with local charities and community groups, the nation's fourth largest supermarket chain managed to donate around 833,600 meals across the UK during this period, benefiting 20 causes in Oxfordshire alone. This act of kindness forms part of Aldi's thriving partnership with Neighbourly, a platform dedicated to bridging the gap between businesses and charitable organisations. Liz Fox, National Sustainability Director at Aldi UK, explained how the company was able to give back. She said, "We know that the school holidays can be a particularly challenging time for families, and food banks regularly see heightened demand. By working with such amazing charities in Oxfordshire through our partnership Neighbourly, we are able to give back by providing donations to those who need it most." Steve Butterworth, CEO of Neighbourly, said Aldi's contributions serve as a lifeline for many, providing essential support to enable these causes to continue their vital work within local communities.
Nearly three quarters of people who arrived at accident and emergency at Oxford University Hospitals Trust were seen Within 4 hours last month, new figures show, missing the government's latest NHS target. Last year, the government announced a two-year plan to stabilise NHS services, which set a recovery target of 76% of patients being seen within 4 hours by March this year. The original NHS standard is 95%. NHS England figures show there were 3,553 visits to minor injury units at Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust in March. Of them, 3,077 were seen within 4 hours, accounting for 87% of arrivals. It means the Trust met the recovery target but fell short of the NHS standard. At Oxford University Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust, 943 patients waited longer than 4 hours, including one who was delayed by more than 12 hours. And the figures show nearly 9 in 10 people who arrived at minor injury units at Oxford Health Trust were seen within 4 hours last month. Across England, 74% of patients were seen within 4 hours. It was an improvement from 71% the month before, but the target was missed. Figures also show 42,968 emergency admissions waited more than 12 hours in A&E departments from a decision to admit to actually being admitted, down from 44,417 in February. The number waiting at least 4 hours from the decision to admit to admission rose slightly from 139,458 in February to 140,181 in March. None of these patients were at Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust. Sarah Scobie, Nuffield Trust Acting Director of Research, said, "Despite the incentive scheme to improve A&E waits for this month, with the highest performing trust being rewarded financially, progress has been limited and the long-term strategy for reducing waiting times is unclear. About 2.4 million people attended A&E departments across England last month, the busiest month ever, and 9% higher than the number of attendances in March 2023. The overall number of attendances to minor injury units at Oxford Health NHS Foundation Trust in March was a rise of 5% on the 3,370 visits recorded during February, and 4% more than the 3,410 patients seen in March 2023. NHS National Medical Director Professor Sir Stephen Powis said the latest health service performance data demonstrates once again how the NHS is working flat out to recover services despite enormous demand. He added, "There is further to go, but it is clear the NHS is treating more patients more quickly, and we have announced new ambitions for this financial year to build on the improvements made so far."
And that was the last item for this week. Please note there is now a new telephone number for you to ring if you have any comments about this week's Oxtalk edition. Please ring 07 496 062 280 and leave your name and contact details, as well as your message. Alternatively, you can email mail@oxtalk.org.uk. This edition and previous editions are available on our website, www.oxtalk.org.uk, where you can either listen or download. Thank you very much for listening.